Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke with Let's Talk Art. Today I'm talking about Louis Mizell, Mizell Gallery in New York. We're talking about the Mel Ramos exhibition, which goes until August 5th, 2016. Search for Let's Talk Art with Brooke. But in the meantime, if you'd like to support the podcast, please look for my book, Reptiles on Caffeine, on Amazon. Enjoy the podcast. Tell me about the Mel Ramos exhibition. Who is Mel Ramos, for one thing?
Say again?
Who is Mel Ramos?
Okay. Mel Ramos is one of the 20 pop artists.
Okay.
You're not familiar with his name?
No.
Okay. Back in the early 60s, a group of artists was put together at Leo Castelli Gallery by Ivan Karp, who was the director. And unlike all movements that came before, which was abstract expressionism, surrealism, dadaism, impressionism, cubism, all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Those were artists that got together either in Paris and then later in New York.
Mm-hmm.
They knew each other. They came together. They worked together. They fought together. They argued together. And they had a manifesto.
Right, they had a manifesto.
They were about something, and they named the movement, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
The pop artists did not know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Warhol, Lichtenstein, Ramos, Ruchet, etc. They were put together by a dealer, and then a very important critic at the time, Lawrence Allaway, coined the word pop artist, popular artist, pop artist,
right.
And it came into existence. In my latest book, and I've written many, but there are four major volumes every 10 years, documenting photorealism.
Uh-huh.
In the fourth book, I said, who is a photorealist? Started off, and the answer was, no one is a photorealist. I then said, who is a pop artist?
Uh-huh.
No one is a pop artist. Now, the pop artist and the photorealist, they don't consider themselves to be pop artists or photorealists or anything else.
Right.
But those two artists, those two groups, understood the use of the word for commercial and historic purposes.
Right.
Meaning, if a critic would come in and Ivan said, oh, did you see the pop artist? Oh, what's that? And he shows him 10 artists.
Mm-hmm.
They say, oh, let me write about these 10 artists. And if a museum curator came in, what's new this year? Pop art. Oh, let me see. So all of a sudden, lots of shows happened. Lots of things were written. And the movement took off. 10 years later, I, Louis Mizell, made up the word photorealism by accident with a critic one day. I was showing these artists that I had put together on my Madison Avenue gallery.
Uh-huh.
And a critic who I know comes in and says, these are terrific.
Yeah.
The art world's going to hate it.
Uh-huh.
They're going to tell you you're going backwards, going back into realism, et cetera, et cetera. However, they're great. What do you call these artists? I said, I don't know. For one thing, they're the first group of artists since the camera was invented that not only admitted that they're using the camera, but telling everybody that we're collecting our information. We're getting everything with the camera, gathering information, and then making the painting based on the photograph. So I said, I don't know, photographic realism. What do you think about photorealism?
Uh-huh.
And that weekend, he wrote an article, Mizell Gallery Showing Photorealism. The word came into print.
Oh, that's awesome.
Six months later, the Whitney Museum had the first show of the 70s, and the curator had seven of these artists in the show was called 22 Realists.
Uh-huh.
But in the article, in the catalog, he used the word photorealism to apply to some of these artists, and now it was in a museum catalog, and the rest is history.
Wow.
So you
came up with the word.
Yeah, that's a very quickie kind of thing.
Yeah.
So now Mel Ramos was one of the original pop artists, and what did they do? Andy Warhol was doing his soup cans, and Lichtenstein was doing his cartoons, and Ruchet was doing the buildings, whatever it was. Ramos also was doing cartoon characters, and in 1962, he did a portrayal of Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman. They were painterly. They came out of the comic books, but they were adhering, as all the pop artists did, to the lessons of abstract expressionism, of everything that came before as far as composition, as far as scale, as far as surface, and as far as ideas, etc. And it was the beginning of something that became called pop art.
Right.
So in the beginning, he did the superheroes, mostly men. Batman, Captain Marvel, Captain America, etc. And then towards the end of 1962, he did Miss Liberty. And having also done onto a series in 1963 called The Female Superheroes, mm-hmm. of which he did about 18 paintings. Mm-hmm. Cave Girl, Roma, Sheena of the Jungle, Fa, White Goddess, etc. Mm-hmm. So it became a very, very famous series. Mm-hmm. And then he went on to a series called The Commercial Images, where he would have a beautiful blonde, big-breasted blonde popping out of a Lucky Strike package, mm-hmm. and a girl coming out of a banana or another one out of a candy bar. So it was always nudes and commercial images, a girl standing next to a Coke bottle that was 6 feet tall, or an AC spark plug, or sitting in a bowl of fruit and with on an S&W fruit label. So that was the next series.
Right.
He then did a series of girls as if you were looking through a keyhole. So you saw the keyhole and you looked through and you saw a nude. Uh-huh. Then he did a series called Beauty and the Beast, where there were girls with all sorts of animals, but in a very pop kind of humorous kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just giving you a background because he went on to many series. I began representing him in 1971 or two.
Oh, wow.
And have represented him since.
Uh-huh.
So now, he went through a lot of series, and in 1996, he retired from his tenured professorship at the University of California,
mm-hmm.
and he was cleaning up the studio, getting ready to do a lot more work, and he found some of the photographs from the 1965 series, which may have been the most famous and sought after.
Right.
And Ramos, unlike Warhol, who left 36,000 works, Ramos only did 16 or 17 or 18 a year because they were all really hand-painted.
Uh-huh.
So he found some of these pictures, and he said, you know, I'm going to do a couple more of those. And he called them the Lost Paintings of 1965.
Uh-huh.
Because he only did 18 back then. They were immediately snapped up and embraced, and everybody went wild. Oh, I got to have one, I got to have one. Because
yeah.
the early ones, if you can find one, goes for $2, $3 million.
Right, wow.
And the new ones I was selling for $300,000,
$400,000.
Yeah. So he did that for a lot of years, and he's done, you know, girls riding on cigars and uh-huh. that kind of thing, and they're all a lot of fun. And 3 years ago, I found a drawing in Germany that had gotten to Germany that he did in 1962, and it was called Black Cat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very sexy girl in a bathing suit at the time riding on a red motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Black Cat. And I said, wow, that's one of the best drawings I ever saw of his. I called him up. I said, Mel, I got Black Cat drawing. He said, where'd you find that? I said, it was in Germany.
Uh-huh.
I said, did you ever do a painting of that? He says, well, no, I didn't get to it. I said, I want you to do it for me.
Yeah.
So he did it, and it was going back to the pure pop art period, because as time went on, he got more realistic and photoreal, and it was wonderful. And I said, Mel, I want you to do a whole series of these for your next show.
Uh-huh.
That's what this show is about. It's called The Lost Paintings of 1962.
Uh-huh.
In 1916. Now, you haven't seen any of this, right?
No.
When I'm finished, I will send you all of them.
Awesome. Well, I saw the ones that you sent me. They're like the superheroes. Or the superhero.
Which one?
It was like a superhero. You sent me
Supergirl.
A bunch.
Supergirl. Oh, you saw that.
Yeah, you sent me a bunch of
those. Oh, yeah. Well, there were others that I did send you a few then.
Yeah. Yeah. But I was wondering if he, I'd wondered if he had done it, you know, any other sorts of, well, I read that he did like some nudes and I was.
Well,
like,
there's no nudes in this particular series.
Okay.
Anyway, to do the catalog,
mm-hmm.
I came up with what I think is the best catalog I ever did.
Mm-hmm.
We made it look like a comic book.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And on the cover was a picture of Sky Girl.
Uh-huh.
And then as you went through it, you saw all of the female superheroes and men
uh-huh.
with a story about how they first appeared, where they first appeared, what their accomplishments were, and what their superpowers were. And it looks like a comic book,
uh-huh.
which I will send you tomorrow.
Cool.
And I can send you photographs, or my girl will send you all the photographs of the show.
Awesome.
And she'll send you one of the catalogs if you want. And
cool.
That's the basic story of Mel Ramos. Now, as pop artists go,
mm-hmm.
they're almost all gone,
yeah.
except for Ruscha and Ramos and Robert Indiana.
Uh-huh.
Robert Indiana is, he's the one that did the love things. if you know those.
Yes, I do. My parents had like pillowcases and t-shirts.
Yeah, there was even a stamp of his love sculpture and
paintings. Yeah, okay.
And he did numbers. Anyway, so Indiana is very old and not really working, and he's on an island off Maine.
Uh-huh.
Ruscha is in California, and I don't know what he's doing. Mel Ramos is still producing, and all of the other ones have died.
Oh.
I mean, it goes back, in 1962, 3, 4,
right.
They were probably approaching 30, mm-hmm. and that's 1960 is 60, almost 60 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Cool. Well, I had a question about pop art. I think it's so great, but I'm just wondering if, and you had mentioned that one of them had painterly characteristics, painterly attributes, and I was just wondering if you thought that it was the timing of just when it started in the 60s or 70s do you think it would have worked in the Renaissance or
the pop artist?
Yeah, like any other art movement. I'm just wondering.
Nothing that you see
mm-hmm.
that has been done past 1960, based on everything that happened before, could have happened before.
Mm-hmm.
I have this little kind of fun story about the camera being invented in the mid 1800s,
mm-hmm.
and I have this funny story. Like Monet or one of the impressionists said to the other, "Hey, there's cameras here. We do not have to do what artists always had to do. What do they have to do? They had to record faces, mm-hmm. places, and things:
mm-hmm.
portrait, landscape, and still life.
Mm-hmm.
Even the caveman did." Pictures of the hunt on the wall in the caves.
Mm-hmm.
The first sculpture we know about, the Venus of Willendorf,
mm-hmm.
is of a pregnant woman 30,000 years ago. And all through history, whether it was Egyptian or Oriental or Chinese or whatever, it was always representational and it was always sort of reporting on what it looked like during the 1500s and 1600s and the Middle Ages.
Mm-hmm.
It was all about religion. And it was all, they had developed really good realist techniques.
Mm-hmm.
So artists had to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Once the camera was invented, they could start moving it away. And as soon as they began moving away,
mm-hmm.
and you got into the 21st century, even Cubism, Picasso and Leger and Braque,
mm-hmm.
There was still a representation. You could see imagery there. And then you had the surrealists that said, oh, I'm having dreams and I can paint, you know,
right.
all this stuff. So on and so forth until we finally got to the 40s when artists said, why do we have to have any imagery at all? Why can't we just express ourselves and
right.
make colors and things? And they did that.
Uh-huh.
And Jackson Pollock, of course, started throwing paint across canvas.
Mm-hmm.
And Franz Kline took the big black broad brush strokes.
Mm-hmm.
And they threw away imagery.
Mm-hmm.
You get to the end of the 50s and you had three artists, Jasper Johns,
mm-hmm.
Robert Rauschenberg, and Larry Rivers. They mm-hmm. were abstract painters. They were young, they grew up with the abstract expressionists, and they said, well, let's do something different. And Chester Johns painted an American flag, and Larry Rivers painted a Dutch master's cigar box and other things. And it was very painterly
mm-hmm.
and quite loose, but it brought imagery back to the extent that Andy Warhol said, oh, I'm going to paint a Campbell soup can.
Uh-huh.
And so on and so forth. Now, these things didn't happen exactly the way I'm saying,
right.
but it's basically how art history developed. And the photorealists, if you look at my photorealists, I do represent the finest realist painters and sculptors that exist in the world in contemporary art.
Mm-hmm.
None of this could ever have existed, even 25 years ago.
Right.
The newest ones have 36 megapixel cameras,
yeah.
large format, computers.
Uh-huh.
And they say, listen, I'm gathering the information with 50 photographs, and if I can see it, I can paint it. And they're painting the most detailed, incredible things that no camera could do because it's a conglomeration of 50 photographs worked over in a computer.
Uh-huh.
And then they make an image and then they paint it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so.
So that's.
There you go.
So that's, yeah, that's. Because I don't know, I mean, you just. I think it's so great, and I just love it. So how did you actually get into are you an artist?
No. I was trained as a classical musician, a pianist, mm-hmm. when I was 14, from 4 to 14. When I was 14, I gave it up. Up to that time in my life, I was going to concerts on weekends. Uh-huh. And when I was 14, I went to the Museum of Modern Art for the very first time with a friend of mine whose father was a member. Mm-hmm. And I walked in, and it was the days of the abstract expressionists. They were all on the walls. Within 4 years, I had met and knew them all. When I was 18, wow. I was getting down to the Cedar Bar and hanging around and meeting. And I met Stamos, who was one of the youngest ones. Uh-huh. And by sitting with him, I met the other ones. And I was very, very well steeped in abstract expressionism. Uh-huh. And as a result, I was a little bit against pop art when it came out because they were. They said, what are right. they doing? You know? But then I got to meet Wesselman mm-hmm. and Warhol and Mel Ramos particularly. Mm-hmm. And I went on into the 60s. And now I was more open to all art. And because of the pop artists bringing back imagery, we had 100 artists that were showing in and around New York that were called the New Realists. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of big names, but very few of them were really doing something excitingly new. And in the mid-60s, I met Malcolm Morley. Malcolm Morley, in effect, was a late pop artist, mm-hmm. but he was painting pictures from postcards of ocean liners. And he would blow them up real big and make these incredibly detailed paintings of ocean liners that looked like big postcards. Mm-hmm. So he was a late pop artist. He was early in leading to this kind of exacting stuff that we call photorealism. Mm-hmm. Towards the end of the 60s, I met Chuck Close. Do you know that name? He was painting big, gigantic faces in black and white. Uh-huh. And Richard Estes and Audrey Flack. So Chuck was the portrait painter, Richard was the landscape painter, and Flack was a still life painter. And there you had the classic three areas of realist painting, but in a way that no one had ever even dreamed of or seen before. And I started gathering a couple of these artists to show mm-hmm. and my little gallery on Madison Avenue, and I told you about how the word came into existence mm-hmm. in 1972. Mm-hmm. There's a major show in Europe every 5 years called Documenta. Mm-hmm. And Documenta 5 showed the American photorealists, and the Europeans grabbed it. They were flying over here, French, German, Spanish, British dealers, trying to buy everything they can mm-hmm. and taking it to Europe. And one thing led to another. I opened a show in my gallery in Soho in 1973 that traveled to 25 museums. And eventually I got the collector that I built it for to give it to the National Gallery, and it's in the National, in the Smithsonian. Uh-huh. And I've done 300 museum shows then and about a dozen books.
Wow.
So that's my history. That's how I got from where I was to where I am today. Uh-huh. And I'm still having a good time. And I have a gallery in Soho. I'm the last gallery left of mm-hmm. real galleries. I was one of the first four. We got to be 300. When the rent started getting up close to $1,000 a foot, everybody left and went to Chelsea in the Lower East Side. Mm-hmm. I opened another gallery on 57th Street, uh-huh. where I do a lot of my shows. And my gallery in Soho is run as sort of a free museum, still looking like a 1970s Soho gallery so people can see it.
Right, right. Well, that sounds awesome. Thank you so much for chatting with me. I really appreciate it, Louis.
Okay. And now I got to go and go to my big meeting. That's a really important one. And I'm glad that he let me go and talk to you. And if you need me in the future, just keep writing to me and I'll get you some material.
Cool. Thank you so much. Thank you for doing this. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much to Louis Meisel of the Meisel Gallery for telling us about the Mel Ramos exhibition. And thank you to you for listening. I know I learned a lot. And if you're in the New York City area, check out the gallery.
Let's Talk Art with Brooke is a Hotspur Enterprises media production.